Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into Kansas. They have a very important, I would call it must-win game today against TCU. We'll talk about them in a stat that they have to get fixed if KU is going to turn this season around and turn it around in a KU sense. Not really turn it around in a life sense because they're going to be perfectly fine. Today's pop quiz was I Love You, Man. The prize was $25 to Twin Peaks. We'll get to Brandon Kiley's random facts coming up in just a little bit. I don't want to cheat you out of your random facts.
Okay.
I apologize for taking too long on the AAF. My bad. I still can't believe that it was the good football that everybody is talking about when out of the four games, three teams scored less than 7 points. But, hey, if that's what you enjoy, hey, I'm not here to tell you otherwise. So, I was thinking this today of, I don't think I've ever said this sentence before, and I don't really know if it's ever been uttered before in human existence. Are the Browns a team you should be worried about moving forward? Because we can agree, the Chiefs are playing in a different field now. You got your quarterback. You got Super Bowl aspirations. You're not thinking about just 1 year. You're thinking about the next eight. You're thinking about the next 10. I'm looking at the Cleveland Browns. You've got an offensive-minded head coach that at least in an interim basis appeared to get the most out of its young quarterback. You've got a quarterback in Baker Mayfield who I think could be successful. There certainly is precedent of a quarterback his size, spread offense. It is certainly lending itself, we agree, more towards quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield's size being successful in the NFL. You think about their running backs. You might have the best running back trio in the NFL. Now, we don't know when Kareem Hunt's going to be back, but Nick Chubb, very solid. Second-round draft pick, still in a rookie deal. Kareem Hunt, they're probably always going to have it over him just a little bit. They're always going to have a team-friendly deal for a running back who could far exceed his value. This year, make a one-year, $1 million deal. They can tender him next season. Kareem Hunt's not going to cost the Browns money for the foreseeable future if this works out for him. You got Jarvis Landry. You got a couple nice pieces on defense. Are the Browns a team that Chiefs fans should be worrying about moving forward?
Yeah, I said that last week. We were talking about teams in the AFC that you thought were Super Bowl contenders. I don't think the Browns are in that could win a Super Bowl mold next year, but yeah, I think the Browns are a playoff team. I mean, they won seven games this year, and yeah, I think they should be. I mean, there's a very good chance that the next two quarterbacks in the AFC, the next Brady and Manning, are Mahomes and Mayfield, for sure. I think you definitely should be concerned about the Cleveland Browns moving forward. We know the general manager well in Cleveland, right? And I think we can all agree that he knows talent and can go out and get talent. Fair to say? Is that fair? Okay, so we know that they're going to have
talent. I think it's beyond fair.
Yeah, so we know that the Browns are going to be talented. Now, can he manage the salary cap in Cleveland? Can he keep that down? And can they get enough to be able to compete? But yeah, I don't think that's too crazy. You were on the Browns earlier this season, C-Dot, and once we saw them, once they got rid of Todd Haley and they got rid of Hugh Jackson in Cleveland, that looked like a legitimate football team.
I don't know if this is a hot take or not. I think you can make a very solid argument. I'll make the argument that aside from Kansas City, if you could pick any AFC franchise moving forward, you would pick the Cleveland Browns. You have a GM, who, as you alluded to, can draft. No one doubts John Dorsey's ability to find and scout talent. Nobody doubts that. Now, can he hire a head coach? Can he do some of the other things? But nobody doubts John Dorsey's ability to sit there and watch film and go get your coach quality players. I think he might be one of the five best at the NFL at that part of his job of scouting and developing players and finding them and bringing them to his organization. You've got somebody that can do that. You want to know how many teams in the NFL have more cap space this year than Cleveland?
Who?
Two. The Jets and the Colts. That's it. So, you might not want to go to Cleveland, but if they got more money to offer you than anybody else can offer you because they got the available cap space that they can go get themselves one or two big-time free agents and big-time deals, certainly would take that scenario. And then you've got a quarterback who, I like Baker. I like Baker coming out of college. And then I think you've seen that him and Freddie Kitchens, he can at least get the most out of him, that he might be his most productive out of him. That we're seeing the league is certainly starting to shift towards. You go get your young quarterback, you go get a head coach that can pull the most out of that quarterback. That's why you go hire Cliff Kingsbury. That's why you retain Freddie Kitchens. That's why you do some of the things we saw. That's why you go get Zach Taylor, quarterback coach from the Rams, and you bring him over to Cincinnati. We're clearly seeing the pattern in copycat league of the NFL. The Browns appear to be geared up for it for the next 5 to 7 years. Now, I'm not saying they're Kansas City. I'd much rather be the Chiefs. I'd much rather have Patrick Mahomes. But I'm saying is right now, who would you rather be, Houston or Cleveland? You can make a strong argument rather be Cleveland. Who would you rather be, the Jets or the Browns? You can make a really good argument that you'd rather be Cleveland over the Jets. That we're getting to the point where, other than Kansas City, Cleveland might be the second best organization in the AFC set up long term.
And let me tell you something about Cleveland, too. That is a football-starved, crazy, freaking town. I mean, those Browns fans have been coming out for years and years and years, packing that place when the Browns have been god-awful. Now they got something. You want to talk about a home field advantage when the Browns get good? It's going to be absolutely nuts in Cleveland. They've got everything that you need to be a really, really good franchise. I think you got the franchise quarterback, you've got the GM that can get talent, and you've got the rabid fan base. This isn't Nashville we're talking about here. And I know it can get loud in Houston at times, but the roof's closed. Cleveland is a different animal. Cleveland, when it comes to being passionate about pro football, is just like Kansas City, maybe even more.
I want to play this for you guys. This is Adam Schefter on ESPN earlier today. He says that Dorsey really led the charge to bring Kareem Hunt to Cleveland.
Teams had begun to warm to the idea of signing Kareem Hunt. The Cleveland Browns were tracking and monitoring Kareem Hunt all along. There had been talk dating back weeks that Cleveland would be the team that was going to sign him. And indeed, today, it did sign him to that one-year deal. The Chicago Bears, at one point, did not dismiss the idea of signing him. And, of course, the Bears head coach is Matt Nagy, who was his offensive coordinator in Kansas City when Kareem Hunt led the NFL in rushing in that star-studded rookie year, his first year in the NFL. And, of course, John Dorsey is the Browns' general manager. John Dorsey pushed to draft Kareem Hunt in the third round in Kansas City, despite his talented but troubled career at Toledo, not far from Cleveland. And once again, Dorsey at the forefront of this charge to sign Kareem Hunt now in Cleveland.
So text line 69306 on the Protein House Eat With The Purpose text line, I was asking the question of, do you look at the Browns as the team that the Chiefs should be worried about moving forward? Someone on the text line says, I think Cleveland's good, but I'll take Deshaun Watson over Baker Mayfield any day. I agree with you. I think that Deshaun Watson is better than Baker Mayfield, but I trust the people around Baker more than I trust the people around Deshaun Watson. I trust the health or the injury history over Baker Mayfield more than I trust the injury history over Deshaun Watson. I think the Browns are better set up to put the talent around Baker than the situation down in Houston. I would not discredit the Cleveland Browns. Now, I'm not saying they're winning the Super Bowl next year. I'm just saying if we talk about that window and whenever the Patriots are over, who are the teams that are sliding into the position to be able to challenge for the throne, you got to at least take Cleveland seriously in my mind.
Absolutely. You got to take them seriously when it comes to winning the division too, right? I mean, Big Ben's on his way out. He's not going to be around forever. What's he got, one, maybe two more years left? Yeah, Cleveland, to me, is a serious threat to win that division. And if that's the case, then they get into the tournament. I think Cleveland has a legitimate shot at winning the division this year. Absolutely. The talent they're surrounded them with, they've got a good running back combination back there with Duke Johnson. We didn't talk about him. And then they just added Kareem Hunt. Don't know when they're going to get him back. But Baker Mayfield is a guy that I really like. He proved to me that he could be a really good pro. And once Todd Haley and Hugh Jackson were out of there, he was a different quarterback. So, yeah, I think you've got the quarterback. You've got the GM. Don't know if they have the coach yet. To me, that's a big question mark. He may get along with Freddie Kitchens. Great. They may like each other, but I got to see Freddie Kitchens do it before I can believe it.
Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we'll do some player props in the KU-TCU game to get you ready for the very important, I would say, must-win game for the Jayhawks. But first, KU's biggest problem on the road this season has been pretty apparent. I'll tell you what it is coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in just a little bit, Jeff Darlington called the Chiefs losers in what happened with Kareem Hunt. We'll play that coming up in just a little bit. I'd be very curious to hear what the context of it is. Jeff Darlington, a really good NFL reporter, certainly well-sourced. Very curious to hear what his opinion is. But tonight, very important game for the Jayhawks. I just want to clarify.
Yeah.
Who's your team this year? Because earlier you said my Wildcats. I just want to know moving forward, Have you jumped off the KU bandwagon?
No.
And have you picked up the Emon mantle?
No.
Or are you still riding with the Kansas Jayhawks?
No, I'm riding with the Jayhawks. I'm a KU fan, but I can certainly appreciate what K-State has done. And again, when you're sending money up to Manhattan, Kansas, when you got a student up there, then you start paying attention a little bit more. That's all I'm saying. And I do like what K-State's doing. I like what Bruce Weber's doing with this group.
So, I have figured out what KU's biggest problem is this season.
What's that?
They don't take care of the basketball, especially on the road. And it's real bad on the road. So, look this up. At home this year at Allen Fieldhouse in the nice friendly confines when you got the officials, I mean fans behind you, and everybody's on your side, KU's only having 10 turnovers a game. That's not bad for a young team with young guards, turning, parts that are turning over. Nothing wrong with that. 10 turnovers a game. You want to know what it jumps to on the road?
What?
17.6. You can't keep going on the road like you did against Kansas State and turn the ball over 23 times and just giving possessions away. I think I saw a stat. It was in the game against Kansas State. They turned the ball over on 21% of their possessions. One in every five times you come down the court, you're not getting a shot up. You're turning the ball over. Man, that's the biggest problem. It's something they got to fix here. Establishing who your point guard is, protecting the basketball a little bit more. If you're expecting to go on the road in a TCU team, that I don't think is one of the better teams in the Big 12, but we certainly saw capable of knocking off one of the big dogs. That team on Saturday went to Iowa State. We agree, after Kansas, probably the toughest place in the league to play. Maybe you make an argument with West Virginia whenever West Virginia is playing really well. Went up to Ames, Iowa for a team that has everything to lose, everything to gain in this context when it comes to Iowa State. And went up there and beat them. Now you're coming back home. We agree. Whenever you got KU in town, fans are going to show up. It's going to be a raucous environment. Not one of the better environments in the Big 12, but this is going to be a big-time game down there in Fort Worth. You cannot turn the ball over 18 times today, 19 times today, and then win if you're Kansas.
I mean, that's the biggest issue, isn't it? I mean, KU is a different basketball team on the road. And what typically happens when you have youth and inexperience is when you don't handle change very well. You don't handle chaos very well. Until you've been in that situation numerous times. And KU can't do that right now. Now, they still got some time to get this thing turned around, but they don't handle it well. See, you had the KU stats. I'll throw some K-State ones at you. Why K-State is number one in the league and KU is not is because K-State is the same basketball team on the road as they are at home. On the road, they're averaging 11.6 turnovers per game. At home, they're at 10.6. They're the same basketball team. That's really what it comes down to. And so KU's got to grow up quick. And that's something I've been saying for a couple of weeks now. You've got to grow up quick. You've got to be able to deal with change. And you've got to be able to handle environments that are not Allen Fieldhouse. And they haven't been able to do that. If they go to TCU tonight and turn it over 18 times, they're getting beat. Because KU's not a good road team right now. And it's largely because of the turnovers.
I'm with you when it comes to lesson. I think the question you should ask yourself if you're a KU fan is when eventually do you learn? Like at some point you keep touching the stove. At some point you realize it's hot. I'm not going to do it anymore. Like, man, we are at Valentine's Day. If you still haven't learned the lesson about protecting the basketball and doing the little things that it takes to win on the road, it's very safe to ask if you're ever going to learn it. KU has four more road games remaining this season. Not nine, not eight, four more games remaining. And then everything else, neutral site, Sprint Center, depends on where you go in the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
You don't have too many more times to learn this lesson about the value of protecting the basketball. And then you look at it. If you lose today, you are going to be three behind K-State with six to go. Now, I'll give you the one at home against Kansas State because you always win those. At some point, you got to go on the road and you got to beat a team that you're not supposed to beat, or you got to go into an environment that you are uncomfortable with and that is unfamiliar and find a way to get a dub tonight at TCU. Tough environment. You're underdogs in this game. Got to find a way to win. You go on the road to Texas Tech. We agree, top four team in the conference. Got to find a way to win that one. Oklahoma State, a team that typically gives you a tough time. And Oklahoma, who is maybe surprising given the fact that they lost Trae Young. And there are no easy games left. You dropped your easy game. West Virginia on the road was supposed to be an easy win for a team like KU. You dropped that one. You have no more gimmies left to me on the road.
And this may be a KU team, C-Dot, that doesn't learn this season. I mean, that's a possibility. We've seen really talented, good KU teams over the year. Obviously better than the one that we're seeing this year. But just they didn't quite gel. They didn't quite get it. And I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility that KU doesn't get this thing turned around on the road. I mean, that's a legitimate possibility. That really could happen. But if they want any chance of keeping the streak alive, you've got to take care of the basketball better. And that seems like a fairly fixable thing to me. You know, that's a fairly fixable deal. Don't turn the basketball over. Take better care of it. And they should be in good shape. You said something a minute ago that Like, KU's an underdog in this game on the road to TCU tonight. Mm-hmm.
Two and a half.
That is unbelievable to me. That KU is going on the road at TCU, and they're an underdog in this game. That blows me away.
I wouldn't pick KU to be a favorite for any other game on the road the rest of the season. I mean, maybe you'll go Oklahoma, but they're not going to be favorites at Texas Tech.
You wouldn't have them be favored at Oklahoma State.
Just how they play on the road, yeah. And then given how they struggle when they go to Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State is not good.
Yeah.
But given the fact of you have one road win, and that was in January. Now, yeah. We got to see how these games play out. Obviously, it's a moving thing, and we'll see if KU starts to turn things around. But just right now, you don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. Like, you don't deserve the we're Kansas. You haven't shown us that you're Kansas on the road. You've shown us you're Kansas at home. You haven't shown us that we're Kansas. We're going to find a way to grind out these victories. And we agree, typically, when KU is on the road to winning another Big 12 championship, these are the kind of games they go on the road and win.
Yeah, it might be a little bit ugly, but they go on the road and they find a way to get it done. That's what they usually do. I'm curious to see what Quentin Grimes does tonight.
I'm going to guess nothing.
Well, I mean, you say that, and that's fine. You can say that, and over the course of the season, I get where you're coming from on that. But I think the kid stepped up. I think the kid stepped up, against Oklahoma State. Hit two big threes and assisted Agbaji when they really blew the game open. So hopefully that gives him a little bit of confidence to get back in there and do it, because they don't have a bunch of reinforcements coming in. Mitch Lightfoot's going to get in there, get a couple of boards, might get a couple of layups here and there, be fundamental Mitch, be that guy. But Quentin Grimes, if KU's going to win, has to have a big game.
Here's what Jeff Darlington had to say. He called the Chiefs the loser in Kareem Hunt signing a one-year deal with Cleveland earlier today.
You know who winds up being the losers at the end of the day here?
The Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. Doing what some would argue was the right thing.
And it happens a lot when you have these second-chance players who wind up going and getting their freedom and going to another team. The team that they leave behind ultimately is the ones being like, oh, well, I guess we don't have him anymore. And by the way, his presence or lack thereof probably cost ultimately the Chiefs a more likely run at the Super Bowl.
He did cost himself a run at the Super Bowl.
So you can say all you want about Damian Williams and what he was able to do statistically, but it completely changed the way defenses were playing the Kansas City Chiefs once Kareem Hunt was off the field. They're the losers.
I agree with the last part of I don't think that Damian Williams is nearly as dynamic as Kareem Hunt, but I felt like Damian Williams, like, you didn't get 100% of Kareem Hunt. You got like 85%. You got like 90%. And now you think this offseason, you maybe go get a one-year deal on a running back, a veteran running back. You go find Jay Ajayi, who's now a free agent. You get him on a one-year deal. Or you try to find the next Kareem Hunt. Let's not make it seem like the turnover at running back, that finding another productive running back is a very difficult process. It happens literally all the time in the NFL. This organization going forward is going to be fine.
The Chiefs scored 31 points against the Patriots, right, in the AFC title game? And lost because they couldn't get stops. I'm sorry, it wasn't because of Kareem Hunt. Now, maybe you get 38 in that game or not. I don't know.
But you also could argue, though, I guess from their perspective, when it comes to tempo about running the ball. I mean, Damian Williams didn't run the ball effectively.
Sure.
Now, passing game-wise, he was a big help in it. But running the football, I'm pretty sure the Chiefs only ran for 40 yards in that game against New England. That maybe the argument just is Kareem Hunt runs for 100 yards in that game. You can control tempo. You can grind it out a little bit better and maybe not get to second half the same shootout that it was.
Yeah, I know. I understand that part of it. I mean, if you got Kareem Hunt in there, your linebackers kind of have to stay put just in case, right? And if you don't, you know, it's not as much of a threat. So I get that part of it, but holy smokes, man, you got to stop somebody. If they stop somebody, they're in the Super Bowl. They could have gotten to the Super Bowl without Kareem Hunt. And you're right. We've seen running backs get replaced all over the league. All you have to do, if you want to look at an extreme example of that, is look at Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. James Conner went out there. He had a great season. Steelers didn't miss a beat. He looked really, really good, and he was good enough to get them where they wanted to go.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll go through player props to get you ready for KU and TCU in a must-win game for the Jayhawks. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
On the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line, the NFL should make a rule that doesn't benefit guys in Kareem Hunt's situation. If a team picks up a guy that has been cut due to conduct, the team picking him up should give a draft pick to the other team. I actually just saw a story here on The Big Lead, one of the more popular sports blogs out there, that said Kareem Hunt will almost certainly make more money in 2019 and 2020 than he would under the original Chiefs contract. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit, because I think people are kind of missing an obvious point with Kareem Hunt when it comes to the contract and the situation and all that. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But it is time to go through player props tonight. Big game between KU and TCU. Let's see how we feel about it. It's time for Give Us Props.
Let's give props. with the guys from The Drive.
All right, fellas, let's dive into it with the over-under for the game in general. For Kansas' side of things, there's an over-under of 73.5 points. You going over or under for KU?
I'm taking the under on KU. I only trust three guys on their team to score. Who do you trust to consistently score on this team other than Deidre Lawson, Ochai Agbaji, and Devon Dotson?
Thought maybe you only had two there.
Who else do you trust to score? I don't trust anybody else on their team to score. Out of the 84 points that they scored on Saturday against a terrible team in Oklahoma State, 66 of them came from three people. I don't trust KU to travel offensively on the road. I'm going to take the under of 73.
I'm taking the under, too. I mean, the last time KU scored 73 or more points on the road, you have to go back almost a year on the road at Texas Tech, February 24th of last year. They haven't done it this year. I mean, their last four road games, 64, 63, 67, and 60. We talked about this earlier. I mean, the KU is a different team on the road than they are at home, so I have to take the under.
There's a bunch of props for Deidre Lawson tonight. That's the only one that Bovada has. So we're going to start with this over-under 20.5 points for Deidre Lawson tonight.
I'm going to take the over on Deidre Lawson. I think he's just a little bit more consistent than Ochai Agbaji. I like him, but just kind of given as a freshman, he's kind of hot and cold, where I think Diedrich's a little bit more consistent with his offense on the road. Same with kind of with Dotson. A little bit hot and cold. I'm going to trust Deidre Lawson to score more than 20 points in this game. I'll take the over on Lawson. I don't think it's too far over. I can see Deidre with like 23-9 today.
Yeah, I'll take the over on that because, I mean, he's essentially a walking double-double. Like almost every single night, he's going to give you a double-double no matter who he's playing. So, yeah, I'll take the over. And part of it's about, you know, I mean, C-Dot said, three guys are going to score in this game. That's really it. Three guys you're going to depend on, and Lawson's your number one, so I'm taking the over.
Next one for you guys is, again, Deidre Lawson, over under a total of 30.5 points and rebounds combined. So 30.5 points and rebounds combined.
I think that's set right. I'll take the over if I have to. I would probably stay away because I think that's it. I maybe think it goes over by a little bit, 32, 33, but, man, you're not giving yourself a huge margin for error when it comes to the player prop of points and rebounds. I'll take the over. I don't feel that confident about it, though.
I think Dieter's going to go 22 and 10 tonight, so I'm taking the over on this, and I think Bill Self has had this conversation with him. I think he sat him down and said, Dieter, we ain't got a whole lot offensively. You're our guy. You're the man. Everything comes through you when it comes to offense. So I think Deidre Lawson is going to go in there and have a big game, and I think KU is going to win this game tonight. I think it's largely going to be because Deidre Lawson has a hell of a game.
Next one I've got for you, I came up with this one. We talked about the turnover issues that KU's had on the road this year. I'm going to give you an over-under 15 turnovers for Kansas tonight.
I'm going to take the over. It's very odd to say with KU, but you're at a prove-it-to-me standpoint. I can't think of a time this late in the season that we've been asking the KU to kind of show us who you are. Will the real Jayhawk stand up? I don't know if we've seen the real Kansas team on the road. Did we see him against K-State? Did we see him on the road at Iowa State? I mean, it's been a long time since I've watched this KU team on the road and felt like I was watching a good team. So whatever trend that they've had so far, I think you have to expect it to continue. And just given the fact that with their young guards and their inexperience, I'll take the over on 15 turnovers.
Yeah, I'll take the under on this. I think the turnover situation, I think it's peaked. And I think this team finally takes care of the basketball. LeGerald Vick's gone now. They played well enough, had a nice run in that second half to get away from Oklahoma State. Granted, it's an Allen Fieldhouse. KU's what? Turning it over almost 18 times a game on the road. But I think the turnover thing finally starts to get fixed. And things start to get turned around tonight at TCU. So I'll take the under.
For what it's worth, the only team forcing a lower percentage of turnovers this year in the Big 12 than TCU is Oklahoma State. So this is a good matchup from that perspective for Kansas.
But, though, I mean, we've seen this, and I'm not comparing Kansas to Missouri. Like, at some point, though, you just have to accept the DNA of your team. If your team has a high turnover rate, at this point in the season, that's just who you are. Like, we wouldn't think this if your team couldn't shoot. Like, you know, like, if your team was a bad free throw shooting team or your team didn't shoot threes very well, we would just say at this point you kind of are what you are. That's kind of how I feel about these KU turnovers. Like, we've seen them go on the road. Last time they were on the road, they turned the ball over 23 times. I just don't know if you fix that to now only turning it over 9.
Final over-under for you guys. I'll set this one over-under 10 three-pointers made tonight by Kansas basketball. 10 as the over-under on three-pointers made.
Is Sharon playing?
They made 11 on Saturday.
They got Tyrell Reed playing? They got Brady Morningstar playing in this game? They got my guy Connor Tien? Does he have some more years left?
I'm sure he could find some.
No. Under. Who can shoot on this team? Who can shoot? No, under.
Baji was 5-for-7 on Saturday.
This game's on the road, right?
It is. It's TCU.
I'm just making sure. Yeah. I didn't know. I wasn't sure. I mean, I felt like there was a big Jayhawk in the game I was watching on Saturday. I felt like there was a big one on the floor, and there's not going to be today. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe the game got moved. I didn't know.
Man, I want to take the over on this. I really do, because I think Quentin Grimes is going to go out there and have a good game tonight. But I can't take the over on this. I can't see KU going on the road and hitting more than 10 three-pointers. I think it's a gradual change from Kansas on the road. I think they do enough to get it done tonight, but they ain't hitting 10 threes.
Who do you think believes in Quentin Grimes more, you or Bill Self?
Probably me at this
point. I'm not even trying to be funny.
Probably me.
I'm looking at Bill. Bill doesn't appear to have a whole lot of confidence in Quentin Grimes right now.
Bill doesn't have a choice right now. I mean, nobody has a choice right now. So Quentin Grimes has got to turn into the guy that we thought he was. And if he can do that, then I think KU has a shot to get back in the race for the Big 12. And again, I know if you just look at his stat line from Saturday against Oklahoma State, it doesn't really get you going. It doesn't get you fired up.
I would also say watching the game, maybe that's where you and I are a little bit different. Like, let's say that you had no – let's say you were from Massachusetts and you were coming in town and then your cousin had free tickets. And then you were watching the KU game. And I told you and I pointed at Agbaji and said he's a freshman. And I pointed at Quentin Grimes and told you he was a freshman. And then I told you one of them was the 8th recruit in the country.
Yeah, you'd say Agbaji right now.
And I would say one of them was a redshirt up until about 7 weeks ago. Which one do you think it is?
You would say Agbaji.
I would say in about 30 seconds of watching them play, you'd be able to like, I just don't see anything to make me think that Grimes is coming out of this thing anytime soon.
And then I would show your friend, I would go back and I would show you video of the Michigan State game where he put 21 on Michigan State right out of the gate. That's what I would show you. I would be showing Quentin Grimes that video. Look, man, you can do this. You did this against Michigan State right out of the gate on a national stage. You look fantastic. Where is that guy? Let's get it back. And again, in a crucial run in that game against Oklahoma State, Grimes hit two big threes and assisted Agbaji on another one that blew that game open. You got to start somewhere. And I felt like that Oklahoma State game is hopefully the start that Grimes needs to get him back on track.
Yeah, I mean, the first half he was terrible. He was terrible for much of that game. I'm not trying to pout on the kid. I ain't seeing it right now. I'm just not seeing somebody who appears to me to have the fundamental, just the thing to get himself out of this slump. And maybe it happens in the offseason. He's just been bad for too long. It's going on, what, 8 weeks now for Quentin Grimes?
Yeah, it hadn't been good. I'm not going to lie to you. But
I would argue that it's getting worse every time he goes out there, and not better.
Scored double figures once in his last 10 games.
You're right.
Once. Basically three times in conference play he's been at least average.
Again, I'll go back. You got to start somewhere. You got to walk before you can run, man. And the guy hit a couple of big threes in a crucial part of that game that blew it open. And he assisted on another one. When KU absolutely blew that game out. I mean, there's no way Oklahoma State had a chance to get back in after he had back-to-back threes and assisted Agbaji. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's something. I choose to think that maybe it's something. I don't think the guy lacks talent at all. I mean, he would have been a top 10 recruit in the country. I just think he lost his confidence and he struggled. He had a portion of the season, a large portion, where he struggled, but I think he got a little bit of that back in the Oklahoma State game.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now with Grimes, we're just arguing a lot of potential and just not a lot of production. He just hasn't been very productive. That going into this game, if I'm KU, I'm only counting on three guys to give me offense. I'm counting on Dedrick Lawson. I'm counting on Dotson. I'm counting on Agbaji. I would say anything you get from anybody else is a bonus at this point. I just don't know how you trust any of their other players to give you consistent offense. Like, you talk about kind of Mitch Lightfoot, of him being the guy to give you a bucket here, a bucket there. That's kind of what Grimes is now at this point. Like, he's obviously a different player than Mitch Lightfoot, but you get in there with Mitch, you're just hoping, please don't mess it up. That's kind of what I think we've reached the point when it comes to Quentin Grimes' game. Someone on the text line asked a really good question about Kareem Hunt. We'll get to it in a little bit. And there was a story in the Big Lead about how financially this can end up being a good thing for Kareem Hunt now being picked up by the Browns. I think people are missing a very obvious point. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, Carrington here, Brandon Kiley here, Fanning here. We'll get to BK's random facts coming up in just a little bit. We missed it because I went on a tangent about the AAF.
Got to join the Alliance, man.
I watched it. I legitimately went into it with an open mind and tried to give it a chance. And I'm not saying that I won't watch it again. I just feel like people ain't being honest about what we watched. I mean, there was a 15-6 football game on CBS. You guys are trying to tell me that it's good. Like, nah, come on now. Like, I just don't think people are being honest.
Did you guys see the shirts that the referees were wearing? Did that get your attention at all? Like, they were the weirdest things. It almost looked like they had a vest over the shirt that they were wearing.
It was like a bulletproof vest.
It was weird. Yeah, there were some weird things about it.
So, someone on the text line asked a really good question earlier today that I wanted to get to. Text line 69306. On the Protein House Eat with the Purpose text line. The NFL should make a rule that doesn't benefit guys in Kareem Hunt's situation. If a team picks up a guy that has been cut due to conduct, the team picking him up should give up a draft pick to the other team. I don't agree with that. I don't think this has benefited Kareem Hunt. I don't think it's benefited the Chiefs. Now, we can see if it benefits the Browns. I would say right now, Browns are coming out all right. Now, we'll see how long he's suspended for. Maybe he's suspended for 12 weeks next year that you get him at the end of the season that kind of makes it a lost year. Maybe he only misses 6 games. You get him at the middle of the season. He's a little bit fresh. Who knows what happens throughout the course of the season? So right now, I agree with you that it is in the Browns' favor, and that's a little bit of an inequity when it comes to the league. But I think this is how it should be. If you want to cut a guy for whatever reason, he's back out there, and then it's the sanctions put on him by the league. My biggest problem with the domestic violence thing from how the NFL handles it is it just doesn't appear to be straightforward. That if you, to me, Kareem Hunt, he should be under the same policy that Ezekiel Elliott was in. You missed 6 games. That should be the rule to me. So it should just be, we found this out, we're going to do a thorough investigation, and that's the policy. Now, I disagree with the policy. I think the policy should be more strict, but I think the biggest problem we have in the NFL is there is just not consistency in how the rules are being enforced. Not off the field, hell, not on the field we see.
Yeah.
That certain situations happen with domestic violence, and then they aren't all treated equally. That in Kareem Hunt's situation, whenever we saw the video, it should have been an immediate suspension. Then he was put on the commissioner's exempt list, and then now heading into the season, it should be you missed 6 games. That, to me, based on the NFL's policy, that is a more than fair punishment. Again, based on the policy that they've set.
I think it would probably encourage players to really watch it more, don't you? Because if the Browns had to give up a draft pick in order to sign Kareem Hunt, do you think that would curb, you know, domestic violence or anything outside of the football facility? Because, I mean, let's be honest here. There's probably, I bet he had 3, 4, 5 teams at least looking into him. But if it was going to cost him a draft pick, would they go after him?
Yeah, but we also, though, I think it's a little bit unfair because, I mean, we don't penalize teams that do that in the NFL draft. Like, if we're going to be honest here, the Chiefs took advantage of Kareem Hunt's Tyreek Hill situation.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, now looking at his ability, probably should have been drafted in the first round. Certainly should have been drafted in the second round. But because of what happened in college, they were able to take advantage of, let's be honest here.
But that was pre-NFL, though.
But I would say that's a market inefficiency. That one just worked in the Chiefs' favor. And I think my stance on this is pretty clear. But we can't then say, well, it's okay if you do it out of college, then they don't get any suspension. Tyreek Hill hasn't missed any time for what happened in college. He came in the NFL. He's taken the public backlash for it. He's stayed out of trouble. Now he's going to get a big-time kind of deal.
Yeah, but it's different if, like, we get hired here and then something happens while we work here. That's completely different than if something happened before, you know, 2 years ago at another employer in a different situation.
I've just always argued that the NFL, that you should come into the league with a strike. That if you have violence against women in your past, in college, you should come into the NFL as if you committed that crime. That's been my strategy.
And I don't have a problem with that either. I don't have a problem with that either. All I'm saying is the Chiefs took time and effort, invested a draft pick. What was Kareem, a third-round pick of the Chiefs? And now they have to cut him, which is the right thing to do. And now another team benefits with no – I mean, you know, I think part of the reason why they signed him is so they can control him beyond this year. I don't think the Browns think that they're going to get some dynamic running back this year when he could miss 10 to 12 games, only be available for a month of the season. But the Browns control him. Now they have an asset. Now either they sign him, they have a running back, you know, moving forward, or they have a piece that they can possibly trade as well. It does benefit the Browns, and they're not having to pay this guy hardly anything.
Text line 69306, there should be a rule for guys who get cut for violence. They're ineligible. They need to tighten the rules on things like this. Where do we then create the line?
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Would you then DUI if you release somebody? Yeah. Would you do it for that? See, that's what I mean here. I think that now we're trying to go through all these rules and stuff, you should just be under the policy. What about for marijuana? Like, should there be a penalty for a guy like Josh Gordon? Should you then have to give up a draft pick if he had been cut by the Cleveland Browns and then no team had wanted to trade for him? Like, that's where I think we try to play moral police here with the NFL, more than anything. I just want them to have a policy that is obvious and open to anybody. People are saying it's not domestic violence. All right, violence against women. Kareem Hunt in a video kicked a woman. To me, then you should face the same penalty as anybody that has violence against women. That should be an automatic, for me, it would be an automatic one-year suspension. The rule they have is 6 games. So Kareem Hunt, to me, from the moment the video is found out, it really should have happened at the beginning of last season, we're being honest.
Yeah.
The moment that the NFL found out about it and did their thorough investigation.
Thorough is strong. They didn't do a thorough investigation because they didn't get the video.
Then I disagree. But yeah. Kareem Hunt, then he should be suspended for 6 games. That would be how I would enforce the rule.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think they should have got it. I don't understand why the NFL didn't get the video to start with. I mean, I think that part's ridiculous. And I do actually believe that the league didn't have it. I believe that. But once it comes out, I'm with you on the year. I'm 100% with you on the year.
Text line 69306. See, a lot of people are making this argument. I'm happy that we're talking about this because I think people are missing the bigger point. Kareem Hunt's contract with Cleveland could be more lucrative than the deal he has with the Chiefs. But, man, he lost a lot of money in potential sponsorship deals being with the Chiefs, Mahomes, etc. So I saw a story. It was on the Big Lead. It was the same kind of thing. And our guy Joel Corey, he made it that Kareem Hunt, that he was supposed to make $678,000 in 2019. Two-year compensation, 19 and 2020, he could make around 2.85 given the escalators and all that kind of stuff. I think people are not, or people are missing the bigger point. We agree at the end of his third year, he would have been in line to get a massive deal.
Yeah.
In line to get a massive deal. The same deal that Tyreek Hill can get. The same deal that Chris Jones would get. Now, maybe the Chiefs don't give it to him, and then they tell him, hey, we got to take care of these other guys. You play running back. We're going to play hardball with you, and we're not going to pay you. But there's no chance he gets that contract now. There was a chance that he could get the big Todd Gurley deal. There was a chance he could get the big Le'Veon Bell deal. There was a chance. Now, maybe he gets that at 29. Maybe he gets it at 28. But we agree there was a chance that Kareem Hunt could have got that contract at 24. Now there's no chance. So, yes, in the short term, Kareem Hunt is going to make a little bit more money. We're also not factoring in the money that he just lost from the Chiefs and then the public backlash and all that stuff. So, yes, he's going to make a little bit more money in 2019. He's going to make a little bit more money in 2020 than if he had not got a new deal. But we agree there was a chance he could have got a new contract.
Yeah.
There was a big chance he could have got a new contract. So, to me, people got to factor that in, that at the end of next season, Kareem Hunt could have went to his employer and said, hey, I've done all I'm supposed to do. Pay me a deal. That he could have got then $15 million guaranteed, $20 million guaranteed. So, yes. The base salary is going to be larger, but to me, you're not factoring in the opportunity to get the massive contract, which is what every NFL player is trying to do.
And don't you think on the back end of this thing, it actually helps the Chiefs from a salary cap standpoint? I mean, that's one less guy you got to pay. And that's one less dude you got to pay in this whole deal. I mean, if there is some sort of a silver lining to this thing, Kareem Hunt is not a factor. You don't have to worry about giving a guy $20 million guaranteed or at least trying to figure out when you were going to pay him.
Coming up in about just a little bit, BK doesn't think that the Browns make sense from an on-the-field standpoint, and I've got a poll question for you guys, but it's time to learn more about our producer and Brandon Kiley's random facts. I've even got the bet for you.
I appreciate you throwing me a bone.
No worries, man. I could see the look on your face. You look like me trying to swim. Like, that's the kind of look you had in your face, so it's all good.
I was cutting some audio of it doesn't matter. My first random fact for you guys, it feels relevant today because it's her birthday. My childhood crush was one Jennifer Aniston. Mm. So a happy 50th birthday to my childhood crush, Jennifer Aniston.
You know what I was thinking yesterday? Remember when we had that topic of most beautiful women over 40, and then you tried to argue that Uma Thurman looked better than Jennifer Lopez?
I didn't try to argue that she looked better than Jennifer Lopez now.
We got to go find the audio.
Back in the day, Uma Thurman,
When I need him as a fact checker.
I thought she was striking. Uma Thurman was striking back in the day.
I'm just telling you, we could go back and find the audio.
Jennifer Lopez looked fine.
Because I made the point that Jennifer Lopez is the most attractive woman over 40, and then other people were throwing out names, and you threw out the name Uma Thurman.
I like Uma
Thurman,
man.
That's what you threw out, Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman back in the day, Kill Bill. Come on now, forget about it.
I would definitely throw Jennifer Aniston into that, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Number two, I've been on 3 road trips for a Mizzou football game since they joined the SEC.
Probably lost all 3 of those games, too.
3-0, actually.
Oh!
3-0.
You definitely went to just Vegas. Vanderbilt.
At Ole Miss. That was a nice game. That was 2014. Mm-hmm.
Basically Vanderbilt.
At Florida. That was the game where they had like a million special teams touchdowns and Matty Mock finished with like 50 yards passing.
Okay.
But they did
that.
Win. And then at Tennessee, that was the double overtime game when Doriel Green Beckham got the touchdown to finish that thing off and ultimately ended Derek Dooley's career at Tennessee.
Let me ask you this. Which was your favorite road trip? Because I think I know the answer. It's not what people are going to think it is.
I was actually going to say that. It is Knoxville. Knoxville was far and away my favorite road trip. I would put Florida at a distant third. That was my least favorite, and it's not close. Ole Miss was a lot of fun as well.
I've always heard going out to Oxford's a blast.
It's amazing. The stadium's no good, but don't worry about going to the actual game. It's the pregame stuff that matters going to Ole Miss.
I've heard great stuff about pregame at Ole Miss games.
I've been to two road games for Missouri since I've been in the SEC. I've been to Arkansas and Vanderbilt.
How was Vandy?
I loved Vandy. I thought it was great.
Nashville's
great.
It's
Nashville, so I mean, it's fine.
Did you like going to Arkansas?
It's Arkansas.
All right.
I would say the drive to Arkansas is beautiful. Like, if you've never driven in that part, I've actually been to, like, a lot of their basketball games, too. I like Arkansas, but a lot of my people from college went there, so I like it more for that, but that's fine.
Final random fact. There was once a fat Brandon. My senior year in high school, I actually weighed 210 pounds.
What do you weigh now, like a buck 05?
Buck 65. I dropped about 40 pounds that year and have kept it off ever since. So my final random fact, I was once fat brained.
You were the fat kid, huh?
I wasn't necessarily like the fat guy. I was 6'1 and 210, so I wasn't like huge. But, you know, compared to what I am today,
yeah, you're
I was
a running
certainly
fool
a chunkster.
Now, aren't you? You're a running fool. Did you run today?
Yeah.
Got you running?
Didn't go well, by the way.
Why not?
I heard you slipped and fell on the ice.
Yeah, I did. It didn't go well. It was so the water that you see coming from the sky, apparently it becomes ice when it hits the ground nowadays. Wow. Not good. Not good. Turned a corner and just legs went out one way, feet went out the other. Not good.
Anybody see you?
No. No. I was on Main Street, but somehow, some way, nobody saw.
Coming up in just a little bit, I've got a poll question to ask you guys. BK doesn't think that the Browns make good sense for Kareem Hunt on the field. And we'll get back into the top story of the day. Kareem Hunt signs a one-year contract for $1 million with the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk about it next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Gotcha. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.